This month, technology giant Apple have launched an all-new digital wallet called Apple Pay, where you can now pay for your groceries using your iPhone. But Apple isn't the only tech firm changing how we manage our money. From TransferWise to Bitcoin, we're moving to a cashless environment and an increasingly globalized world of banking. What does this mean for us end users, though? Peter Cowley, tech investor, joins us in the studio. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Greer. Thanks for inviting me back in.
No worries. Start off, how does Apple Pay work and why is it better than what we already have?
Yeah, so Apple Pay is, I mean, it's not the only system on the market. Google have also had something for about 3 years. Many of the listeners will have credit cards and debit cards, some of which, the more modern ones, have got these four arcs on them, which is a distance spending. So you can just wave the card past the reader and pay. Apple have just built it into the phone in the same way that Google have done. But Apple have added to that the fact that you also need simultaneously to have your finger, thumb, or whatever on the reader on the more modern phones, so that acting as another level of security.
And that's why it's better than current methods in that you have to type in your chip and PIN, or actually I could give you my card or you might pinch my card and then swipe and
absolutely,
do that.
Absolutely, yes. So it's much more secure. Not just that, there's also a tech element behind it as well to do with the way that the Apple phone talks to the reader.
How does it talk to the reader?
It talks to the reader by combining the card, the phone and your fingerprint together and give us a one-off code that goes to the reader. That even if that's intercepted, that still will not be reusable. Whereas a normal card, you swipe it, waving the card over, it's all it's doing is passing across the card number. So it's very much more secure.
Okay, I see. And you mentioned Android had already launched, or Google had already launched their similar technique, but why hasn't it launched? It's not something I've really heard of before.
Yeah, that's because it's not got across the UK. That's the big difference. So it's probably bigger in the States. So the reason you haven't heard about it is purely because it hasn't got here yet.
Possibly also because I'm an avid Apple user as well. We talked a little bit about the security and payment angle here, and you've got your fingerprint ID. But surely there's lots of other ways that we could be authorizing payments.
Yes, there are all kinds of other different ways. They were talking about facial recognition, talking about voice recognition even. The French system, for instance, they send you a text. So yeah, there are other biometric processes that could be used. I mean, also retina scanning might be possible with a mobile phone, not sure.
This is all sounding very futuristic. I have heard of something called Smile to Pay, though.
Yes,
this sounds very
yes.
intriguing. Does that mean I just smile and I just instantaneously pay for my sandwich at Pret? I don't know.
And if you don't smile, you don't get your sandwich.
Precisely.
Is that what's happening? Yes, is that where we're going with this conversation? No, I suspect that's facial recognition and it just happens to be the smile. Maybe they're recognising that. But of course, the problem there is if you lend your phone, does Kat then, her smile, will that allow her to pay for the sandwich or not?
Can I trust you, Kat?
Absolutely not.
Be going crazy with the sandwiches. What's the future here? Is this, can I expect a world where I can just carry on my phone? I don't need any cash. Is that the future of money?
Possibly, but I would suspect it'll be your grandchildren rather than your children. We will get to the point where there's no cash. There's a whole stack of upsides and downsides to move away from cash. One of the problems with cash, of course, it can be stolen. So that crime would be removed if you didn't have any cash. But instead, there'll be a whole stack of cybercrime in there. It also costs a huge amount of money both to print it, to move it, to store it, etc. If there was no cash, then, of course, we've got to have a mobile device, and something like 5% of all Americans don't even have a bank account. We need to be able to trust the systems. We've got to have something that is not going to fail. You know, what happens if the battery goes flat? There's a problem on the tube at the moment. If you go in with your mobile phone and the battery goes flat, you can't get off the tube, apparently.
Oh, dear, without paying a hefty fine, I
exactly,
imagine.
Exactly, as if you were there on the
but
tube all day
But you wouldn't have the
long.
Cash to pay, so...
You wouldn't, exactly. You're locked
problem
up. Exactly, yes.
Okay, so that's in terms of cashless, but what about a more globalised currency? Is there somewhere that...
Yeah, there's something
called Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, exactly. Bitcoin is a very complex, very, very techy application of something called blockchain technology. It is being used. It's being used incorrectly as well. It's not just being used, but there are, for instance, about 6 or 7 outlets, including coffee shops here in Cambridge, where you can pay with Bitcoin. The Greeks were starting to use Bitcoin because currency sort of disappeared for a couple of weeks. So, yeah, Bitcoin will be used more and more, but whether it will ever become a global currency, I have no clue.
Oh, well, indeed. Well, we'll look forward to that day, or perhaps my grandchildren will. Peter Cowley, thank you very much for joining us
today. Thanks, Greer.